Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. The ESPN app. Listen to us on the ESPN app anywhere. Probably have it on your phone already. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. 888-SAY-ESPN. We're asking which quarterback has the most at stake this season. Good morning, fellas. How you doing?
Good morning,
how are
fellas.
You, Max?
Fellas.
Everything going good, Max?
Yeah, everything's swell, Key.
Okay, I'm just checking in, making sure you're handling your business.
Well, you know.
Key, did you finish?
Jay's going to take me to a polo match?
I've never been to a polo match.
No, but Key has.
Key's going to take you to one.
I couldn't tell you anything about the rules. I just saw a horse running around. And them dudes hitting the thing. And
how are the drinks
when
at the
they
polo
clap,
match,
I clap. Though?
How were the drinks at the polo match, though? That's what I really want to know.
It was wine and champagne, if I can remember.
Okay.
Now, but it was hard liquor, too, but it was a lot of champagne and wine because it was delicate. Everybody's, you know, it was one of them deals, man.
Was that in Anti-Oprah's
Seersuckers?
Was that in Montecito, Santa Barbara?
It was actually Montecito, Santa Barbara, Montecito.
I remember one time I went to Montecito to see one of my boys, and I was like, man, let me check out some of these homes. I'm like, oh, this looks like a nice little 2,400 square feet little house. What's it? 10 million? What? What?
It's very
Montecito.
Expensive.
Very Ellen DeGeneres.
It's very, very expensive in that particular area. Allegedly, Oprah lives there and knocked on the door. When the people and just offered years ago, offered the people an extraordinary amount of money for their house.
Yeah.
And that's where apparently.
Jay is not exposed to this.
Oh, no,
to
no,
this
no.
Upper
this
crust.
One I am.
You
this
are
one
a
am.
Humble working man.
No, this, I am, but I got a chance. I got on my own network.
I got it.
I did a show with her and I sat in the backyard and I was like, this is the guest house. Can you know when you're confused? Like, oh, this, your place is incredible. She's like, yeah, guest house. You're like, oh, get what?
Well, yeah, that's what I was confused that when I went to Max's place, his getaway, and I was just like,
I've been there, Key. Max's getaway is next.
You know? Do you know that a guest? Yeah, right. You know that a guest house is usually the place you actually want to be, or like someone who has a pool house. You go hang out in their pool house. You're like, man, I would never be anywhere else. I would just be in the pool house. Got a TV in here, a shower, everything you need.
Yeah, I've learned to mingle with friends throughout my young age, and you know, you meet people and. They have fabulous homes that you meet and stuff like that. And I know exactly what you are saying, Max. I've been to some people's houses where the little pool house, guest house is – I don't need to go in your main house. This is a main
this
house.
This is it.
What am I – you know.
This is it. So what's been the most impressive part of Serena's U.S. Open run, guys? Like, to me, I think about Kobe's last game. And we were all in L.A. and Key, you were there. It's like, well, I bet you he drops 30 tonight. No, yo, he might go for 40. Remember, he's playing on one leg toward the end of his career, the whole thing. He's a million years old. He dropped 60. 60. So now it's like, oh, it's Kobe Bryant. No, it is virtually impossible to do that. Serena Williams, at the age of 41.
Turning 41. End of September.
So it's virtually 41. Yeah. Had kids, the whole thing, hold the longest career, most accomplished, the whole, is playing the number two ranked player on earth. She's not supposed to win that match, but she does.
Yeah, certainly going into it, it looked like she wasn't supposed to win. Based on the numbers, the rankings, things of that nature, her age, how she struggled here in the last couple of tournaments that she's played in. So everybody automatically assume, oh, she get through the first round, get through the second round. She's undefeated at the U.S. Open in the first two rounds.
Undefeated
she's something
now.
Like 20.
No, she's 40, 41, 42 and 0 now.
42 and 0. 40, yeah, 42 and 0. So when you look at the odds, I mean, the odds obviously is in her favor regardless of who she's playing against. But it was something, it was a sight to see from a television standpoint for sure.
This is why I think that Serena Williams is falling back in love with the game of tennis. Obviously, there have been challenges with, you know, having her child, which had Olympia, and wanting to potentially have more children. And she's made that pretty evident by saying, you know, we don't ask men, how do you balance winning championships and being a dad? You know, but we ask women, and they're held to different expectations, right? But the thing that was, to answer your question, Max, about the most astounding thing that I saw was after the match was over last night, she said out loud to the public and to herself, I've already won. And watching her, seeing the kind of pressure that she would put on herself in a lot of these other matches and tournaments, it doesn't feel like there's that same pressure that she puts on herself, which is a scary-ass thing for tennis. Because Serena's actually saying, oh, I'm just out here having fun. That's what's scary about it, Key. I think the best is yet to come for her.
Well, and that may be the case in this particular tournament. I don't see her moving on and continuing her career after the U.S. Open.
Why?
Win or lose.
Why?
Because she's at a point where I think she's been playing long enough. She has nothing else to prove, as she said last night. We want her to get to 24 and 25. That's what we want. She wanted it a couple years ago. But now when you have a child and you have businesses and you have a husband and you have other things that you want to do in life, you can't keep chasing something that may never come because you're going to lose time on things that are already there. And see, I think that that is what we're going to see.
The family part, having a child, having another child, I completely understand. But it is fascinating, just like, you know, peers in this GOAT conversation. Tom Brady playing mid-40s, Bron playing 37, turning 38, year 21 in the league. Serena, like, I don't need to see Serena chase Margaret Court for 24. I just want to see her go out on her own terms. And it just seems like when you love doing something, how do you just let – it's hard to let go when you're doing it at that level.
If she has fallen back in love with it in a new way or in an old way, then the Grand Slam wins will come as a result of that. And it's not about proving anything, Key, to anyone. It's about if she still loves it, then why not keep playing?
Well, she was the one that said, I don't have anything to prove, not me.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm right. But I'm saying maybe it's not about proving anything.
But knowing her and knowing her mission and her family and things like that, she wouldn't allow all the things that's celebrating her right now to celebrate her if she wasn't
Right. She's not setting everyone up to look.
I'm not setting Oprah up to look like, oh, well, she's going to play Australian Open 2023. Like, that's just not.
That makes a lot of sense. I just wonder sometimes emotions can take over and you go, you know what? Maybe
But is she controlling that though, Max? I mean, they did the intro for her again last night.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think Serena's
asking. No,
but you can put an end to it. You don't have to.
Exactly. You don't have to control those.
You nip it in the bud
and it's easy to just say, look, guys, you act like I'm retiring. I don't know that I'm doing that yet.
Yeah, I wonder if at a certain point, if an athlete like that falls back in love with it, if they start to feel pressure, damn, I told everyone I was walking away. I don't know that I want to anymore, but I don't also want to be that person who sets everyone up. Like, I wonder if they, hey, Serena, how did you beat the number two player in the world? This is her with Mary Jo Fernandez.
Well, I'm a pretty good player. You know, this is what I do best. I love a challenge and love rising to the challenge. And I haven't played many matches, but I've been practicing really well. And my last few matches, it just wasn't coming together. I'm like, but this isn't me. And, you know, the last couple matches here in New York, it's really come together. Maybe I should have traveled with you all for all those years.
I do have to tell you guys last night, though, watching it, some of the rallies that they had, Key, were so incredible. Like, multiple times, rallies that would last for, like, you know, 4 or 5 minutes. And Kontaveit would hit a great shot and win the point, and you would barely hear anybody clap. Barely anybody. But when Serena would score a point, that place erupted. It felt more like an NBA arena or more like an NFL arena. I've never heard tennis like that before. That is such a major advantage.
No, it is, because you got everybody behind you. Because, again, it's anticipated that this is the last night. It's anticipated that this is the last U.S.
dance.
Open that we'll ever see you play. It's much like Venus and Serena. When was the last time they played doubles together at a major event, right? This is
10 years
now,
or more.
That now, all of a sudden, they're going to play doubles together.
When was the last time they played doubles?
Start to follow all of that, it certainly lends itself toward her stepping aside in giving way to some younger people.
When was the last time they played doubles at the U.S. Open?
It's been a minute.
I know.
It's been a minute.
Yeah.
A reminder that pre-tournament, Serena's odds were 50-1 to win this year's U.S. Open title, her longest pre-tournament betting odds in her U.S. Open career. She now sits at 14-1. Slice that in by two-thirds. 14-1. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max is brought to you by Omega Accounting. If your small or medium-sized business is still recovering from the pandemic, Omega Accounting Solutions can help. Call Omega 800-704-2000 or visit OmegaTaxCredits.com to learn how you can get your ERC refund for each employee. There's no time to lose. Guys, guess who is with us now? None other than Hall of Fame offensive tackle Anthony Munoz. Morning, Hall of Famer.
What's up, Ant?
Morning, gentlemen. How you guys doing?
Anthony, I wanted to ask you real quick, how'd you play in that golf tournament we played together for Jordan Carnett? How'd you do that day? You do well?
You know what? I was struggling. And I hit the ball okay.
All right.
For me, scrambles are crazy because one part of my game's good, the other's crazy, but that's the great thing about a scramble. You know, I was hitting the ball off the tee pretty well, and, you know, the iron game was kind of left me, but putting pretty good. So two of the three parts of it were okay. So I know you guys killed it. I know you played well.
Yeah, we played well, man. Speaking of playing well, let's talk about Joe Burrow and the Bengals for a minute. You guys got O.J. Howard. It's another weapon for them to use offensively. Now, how do you think the Bengals have handled coming off the Super Bowl this past offseason?
I think they've impressed me. I think the first thing they do, you know, of course, the weakness they had at the offensive line, which I really believe kept them from winning that game, they went out and addressed that right away in free agency by getting Ted Karras, Alex Kappa, and Collins. You know, so with doing that, I think it allowed them to do several things in the draft. So I think in the draft, the kid that I love watching is Dax Hill, the safety from Michigan. To get Jesse Bates back in there with Von Bell. So they pick up Dax Hill and then Tyson Anderson, a couple safeties. They get a couple defensive linemen to get some depth there. So, you know, I like what they've done. You know, they lose Uzama to the Jets, and they go out and get Hayden Hurst. So hopefully, you know, you mentioned O.J. I mean, hopefully Hayden Hurst can, do what he was drafted to do, being a number one pick. So I think they attacked it pretty good in addressing some weaknesses.
Anthony Munoz, Hall of Fame, Bengals offensive tackle, 9-time first team All-Pro. That's 9 times, 11-time Pro Bowler, amongst many other awards. Joining us this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. What's happening, Trojan?
Key, what's up, man? Fight on, brother.
Yes, sir.
I love it.
How do you think the Bengals will handle coming off a Super Bowl loss? Will there be this hangover? Can they compete in the division, or are they still licking their wounds?
You know, from what I've seen at camp and what I've seen, it's hard to say what I've seen in the preseason because no starters have played in the preseason. But what I see at camp is I see guys that if you look at the way they work, it's like, did these guys go to the Super Bowl and lose, or are they just getting ready for another run? Because they are, you know, a lot of times, Key, you know, you can tell guys, you can talk the talk, but when you watch guys, it's genuine. I mean, these guys are out there busting it. They're after practice. They're saying, you know, Joe's throwing to the wide receivers, and, you know, guys are taking extra passes. So I really think, at least from what I've seen, I think these guys are hungry. And, you know, during the preseason, you see the veterans helping the young guys and, you know, same position guys helping guys. So at least all indications of what I've seen, I think these guys are hungry and have been working hard. I mean, you got guys like T. Higgins who had the shoulder last year. I tell you what, he ran by me in camp, and I'm thinking, is this guy a defensive end or is he a wide receiver? Maybe not a key, but he's pretty impressive looking.
Meantime, O.J. Howard, who was supposed to be the next big thing at tight end out of college and, you know, is not like the superstar pass catcher, but a very good overall player, I think. You think he can have an impact on the offense?
Well, I think with what they have, I think the tight end could be a key. You know, I think if he can, you know, come in and contribute, along with the other tight ends, I think that would be a tremendous advantage. You know, advantage for this offense. Because, you know, now I feel good about these three linemen. The two interior guys are solid. Kaplan, Karras, you know, keep Collins healthy. So all of a sudden you throw, you know, the running game with Joe Mixon and Perine in there. And now you add, you know, a tight end to those three wide receivers they have. I think he could be a factor, a big factor in this offense.
Anthony, we were having a conversation before about Aaron Donald and the practice that they had in scrimmage, in which he had took off two of the Bengals helmet players' helmets, and swing them at him. Have you ever experienced anything like that before in a scrimmage, in a practice? And what do you think, is that going to have any consequences for Aaron Donald?
You know, I personally never experienced that. To me, that is just, I think that's pathetic. I don't care if you're, you know, one of the all-time greats that's ever played the game or a backup lineman or a backup whatever position, that there's no room for that. I mean, I can see scuffles, you know, fights taken to the ground, but when you take off, and I don't know if you've seen the video on that. I wasn't at the practice. There's one practice I wasn't able to make, but I've seen the video of the velocity that helmet, the helmets were being, you know, launched. And what, you know, my buddy Dave Lapham, who does the radio, saw the, when it did hit Cordell Volson's helmet, and just the compression that it caused when they showed it in slow motion. You know, there's no, you know, it reminded me back in the day of the Lyle Alzado, Chris Ward, when he took off the helmet and, you know, and hit Chris Ward with it. There's no place in this league for that. I mean, it's a tough enough league, and we all know it's tough enough just playing the game. You don't need to use a piece of equipment as a weapon. So, to me, that was uncalled for. Will there be any consequences? I don't know. I mean, I thank God nobody was hurt, you know, where they very easily could have been hurt with the velocity that was being launched. So, to me, in this game, there's no room for that type. That's lack of self-control as far as I'm concerned.
See, now I don't know what to think. Because that was my first reaction was, wait a minute, that's a big deal that he did that. Then he acted like it was no big deal. And Key, you seemed to sound like, yeah, that can happen. Now I'm hearing from Anthony Munoz, no, that's nuts. I don't know what to think anymore.
It is nuts. And Munoz is right. It's nuts and somebody could get hurt. But it's not something that is out of the ordinary to me, that I've seen it so many times in practice that it's fights happen in practice. People take off the helmets. When you look at it in games, it becomes a little more egregious because it doesn't typically happen in games. And Munoz mentioned the late Alzado, who played for the Raiders at the time, that took off the helmet and was swinging it and doing those sort of things. Jay, you wouldn't remember that because you were too young. The fights happen, though, in practice all the time. This just happened to be in an inter-squad scrimmage.
So, Anthony, do you feel like he gets to slide a little in terms of the amount of coverage because he's, you know, his reputation? Like, we were talking about how Baker Mayfield doesn't even really need to say anything, and people say he's shooting his mouth off because he's built that reputation. Is Aaron Donald's reputation such that there's enough goodwill that this kind of slides?
You know what? To Key's point, I played over 20 years of tackle football, and not once did I see that in practice. So, you know, maybe we played, you know, hey, Key, maybe my teams were a lot more disciplined than the teams you played with. But, you know, to me, it doesn't matter who you are. I mean, you know, there's been a lot of guys that have had a lot of great will, good will, and then all of a sudden they do one thing, and all it takes is one. And, of course, you recover from that, and you're forgiven, and you can move on, and that's what it's all about. But to just let it go like nothing happened, I'm not all for that.
So, Anthony, considering the way he played last year, winning a Super Bowl, the plays he made down the stretch, this kind of reputation that he had, does this change your opinion of Aaron Donald after seeing this incident?
I mean, not totally. I'm just thinking, I mean, how can someone with that much self-control and playing such a high level not exhibit self-control when it comes to some, you know, a little frustration or whatever? I don't know what happened. We all have been frustrated. We've all been beaten. We've all been, you know, things have happened in practice. And that is why I look at top athletes and say, okay, you have the self-control to train, to be the strongest, the fastest, to play at that highest level. But when it comes to a frustration of somebody in practice, you can't exhibit that same self-control. I mean, and I understand we're all fallible. We're none above, making mistakes. But there's a difference between punching a guy or taking a guy down and taking a helmet off and using it. To me, that's a weapon. I mean, that is a weapon when as strong as, explosive as someone is like he is. But no, it's not taking what he's done. But I'm just wondering, how can someone at that level do that?
The great Anthony Munoz, ladies and gentlemen, appreciate you.
Thanks, all right, Moot, right on.
Thanks, guys. Bye it all, man.
Keyshawn, J. Willimax on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. You can hear us anywhere on the app. Also on your smart speakers, they play ESPN Radio. Are we sure that the U.S. Open will, in fact, be Serena's last major tournament? Is she sure? Keyshawn, J. Willimax, ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRICEbikes.com.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max live everywhere you are. Download the ESPN app. Tap the More tab on the bottom right. Scroll down and tap Live Radio. ESPN Radio. Everywhere you are.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, the ESPN app. Take us with you anywhere. Listen live, the ESPN app. You probably have it on your phone already. Renee Stubbs, six-time Grand Slam doubles champ and ESPN tennis analyst with us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
So you worked with Serena getting her prepared for the U.S. Open. Please take us through that preparation.
Yeah, Serena and I have known each other for a long time, so we've always had a pretty good relationship when it comes to just advice or talking about her tennis. And, first and foremost, I'm a friend. And then she just, we talked a little bit after her Cincinnati loss about some things that I suggested. One of them was to practice with some other female players on the tour. I thought she was so lacking in match practice. I mean, literally had only played, I believe, three matches at that point since coming back from injury. So three matches in a year for even the greatest of all time is not easy to rock up and beat every player on the tour anymore. I mean, so I suggested she just practice a little bit more with some other players, play some sets against them. And, things don't always go your way in practice. You have to problem solve. And she was able to do a lot of that through the week leading into the U.S. Open. And I think that, her greatness now is coming through.
As she continued to move forward in round three, how much tougher as each round goes it will become, or will it become easier for her?
Well, I think it's a combination, Keyshawn. I think it's a combination of her getting through that first round was massive. As I said, she's so, so lacking in match practice that, you know, you just never know what to expect when you have a tremendous amount of nerves and anxiety about a match, which that first round was. A little bit of unknown, and she handled it so beautifully. She started out nervously, and I think really from that moment of getting through that hump of being down 3-2 in the first set of that first round, she's looked unbelievable. So I think, to answer your question, I think it only gets harder because everybody gets better the deeper into the tournament you go. But for Serena, this is, as she said, it's kind of like a cherry on top. I think getting through that first round and getting a win felt so good, and now she's just, now she's in lockdown mode emotionally, and she looked great last night.
Renee Stubbs, six-time Grand Slam doubles champion and ESPN tennis analyst, joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Renee, I want to get technical just for a second because she looks so much quicker on her feet. Just her ability to approach to net, the confidence that she has in her serve from the beginning. Does it feel like her in her game is still coming to form, it feels like? Are we still watching the best player in tennis?
Yeah, well, I mean, certainly at her very best, we know that she's as good as anybody on tour right now. It comes down, your analysis of her movement is definitely spot on. She's moving, you know, the first thing that everybody says to me after she plays, oh my God, she's moving so well. And I think that also comes down to playing matches. When you don't play matches, even when you have played a ton of matches and you have a bit of time off, and I mean, Keyshawn, you'll understand this, you sort of lose your timing a little bit on just basic stuff. You sort of don't read the ball as well. But when you've been playing a lot of games, all of a sudden that just comes so naturally. So now that she's got her teeth sort of locked into a few matches under her belt, now she's understanding where the angles are. When you hit it here, this is more likely where the ball's going to go. So the matches are super important for her movement because it gets it, which is why it was important for her practice with girls leading into the tournament, because she was seeing a different ball than just her hitting partner's ball. And now, I mean, the serve has always been the most dominant shot in tennis's history, in women's tennis. But also the fact that, you know, she's winning a lot of points on her first serve, and that gives her a tremendous amount of confidence. It also relaxes her in the match because she knows she can get out of trouble with a serve.
Renee,
so it's all a bit of a combination, but mostly it's just matches.
How would you even defend her serve? Because the ball she lifts the ball in the slot exactly the same every time.
Listen, if you could tell me, I would have beaten her a couple more times. But, you know, when it's 120 miles an hour and it's hitting the corners, it's really hard to defend against that. And as you said, and I said earlier, it's the most dominant shot we've ever seen in women's tennis. And when it's on, she can beat anybody because it's very difficult to break her. And she proved that again last night. So if the serve's popping and it's winning a free point, you know, the sky's the limit. We'll see.
Meantime, you can watch her, Key, and Venus tonight playing doubles on ESPN 2, 7 p.m.
That's what I was going to ask Renee. I was going to ask her about the doubles and how will that affect tomorrow night in round three, her and Venus tonight playing.
Yeah, I think it's great, to be honest. I mean, she'll just do a quick warm-up for the doubles tonight, and her and V will get out there and give everybody a show again on 7 o'clock tonight, you know, on Arthur Ashe Stadium. It's going to be awesome. I mean, the fact that ESPN is showing a doubles match shows you how big both Venus and Serena are to the story of the Open this year. So it's going to be super fun. She'll be relaxed. She'll have fun with Venus. But I know the two of them. They're very competitive, and that's how it's going to go tonight.
Renee, this might be an ignorant question, but, you know, going to a lot of tennis matches in my life, have you ever seen an environment like you have the last couple of nights within tennis? Like, there's just a kind of uproar of excitement around Serena for every point?
No. I mean, this atmosphere from the first moment she walked onto the court is something that it's indescribable. I've never been in a tennis stadium or an environment like this. Certainly in certain finals from time to time, it's been unbelievable. But this it's different. This year is different. The embrace that she's getting and the love she's getting from the crowd, and just, I'm very honored. I'm very honored to be in that stadium watching her play.
Renee, my colleagues here, both Jay and Max, seem to have an itch to think that she's playing better. She's falling back in love with the game to a degree that this may not be the last and final time that we see Serena Williams on a tennis court. Could that be true?
No. I'll never say never. She's always a little vague in the old press conference, but I can tell you I've never been more certain in my life that I think this is it. This is definitely, I think the greatest part about this, Key, is that she knows when she puts her racket down, she's given it 100% every single day. She's had a fabulous time here at the US Open, no matter what happens. She'll never be happy if she loses, but I think she now recognizes that she's had a great tournament and probably has probably even blown her own expectations out of the water with how well she's playing, and I think she'll be super happy to walk away from the game with this performance, no matter what.
Now, I was going to ask the same question, Renee Stubbs. And the reason is, as we were talking throughout the show about her and kind of marveling at not just her career, but what she's doing right now, you know, we started like talking about the idea that while she wouldn't want to set everyone up for a big goodbye and then be like, psych, right? That maybe if she regains a kind of spark of interest and is playing really well, maybe she would feel some kind of pressure or something. Like, I've told all these people, essentially, I'm walking away, and maybe now I don't want to. That's why we were kind of musing about it. Has she given you any indication that there's anything like that going on?
No, absolutely zero indication of that. I think that, yeah, there's going to be a bittersweetness to this, but I think I think she probably dreamed that she could have a good run here and be able to walk away really satisfied, not being injured, and I'm just so excited that you know, she's had these experiences, and it's been such a positive experience for her here at the US Open, because coming in here it was anything but. So I'm just really, really happy and pleased for her that she gets to go out of the game the way she wanted to and the way she should go out.
Incredible. Renee Stubbs, ladies and gentlemen, six-time Grand Slam doubles champion and ESPN tennis analyst here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Thank you, Renee. Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, Renee.
Thanks, guys.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max live everywhere you are. Download the ESPN app. Tap the More tab on the bottom right. Scroll down and tap Live Radio. ESPN Radio, everywhere you are.
I just thought last night, watching Serena and Kontaveit in the second round of the U.S. Open with my daughter, and Tiger Woods was at the game sitting next to Venus, and we get down to the third set, and some critical points are coming out. I think it's like 4-2. Serena's up in the set, and she hits a great point. Tiger gives the fist pump, right? And Serena was at the fist pump last night, and I was like, man, like, there's this whole thing between the PGA Tour and LIV Golf. Like, what if the PGA Tour were to rebrand itself with the Tiger Woods fist pump?
Would like the way the NBA should use the Jumpman logo,
yes,
just give it up? Yeah.
Yes, would that be a good move for where golf needs to be going, Key, with the PGA Tour? How do you feel about the Tiger Woods fist pump being the logo for the PGA Tour?
What's the logo now?
It's a guy in the middle of a swing.
It's just a guy. It's a guy swinging a club. Swinging a club, right?
Swinging a club, yeah.
No. Nah. It would feel forced. Just like I feel like if they did anything with Jerry West, it'll be forced. Just leave it like it is. And I know they had to come up with that logo from somebody many, many years ago, too, I'm sure. But it's there. It's already kind of branded.
Kind of, though.
Right?
You know, I think the reason is I find that an interesting question. I may agree with you, Key, in the end, but I think
because
it's an interesting question
because there's
something new happening now, which is there's competition, right?
I understand, but what's going to happen, too, is every time you look up, should the trophy be named the Bill Belichick, not the Lombardi? Should the NFL logo go to Tom Brady and the what's the screaming thing when he comes out the tunnel? Let's go or whatever that deal is. Should that be the case or should you know what I'm saying? Like
I know, but that is what happens.
A great athlete.
That is what happens over time.
But guys, the only thing the tour's marketing director at the time, Art West, who named there's like this whole mystery about the silhouette of the PGA Tour logo. Like nobody knows who it is, Key. Is it Jack Nicklaus? Is it, you know, Ben Hogan? Is it Arnold Palmer? Nobody knows. So like that's the thing. Make it notable with Tiger as the face of golf moving forward, especially the fact that he took sides with the PGA Tour.
It would be great, but I just don't ever see that particular sport doing that particular thing with that particular person because of the history in that sport. That's just the way I would not.
It is interesting, though, that we are here at a juncture in the history of golf where there is real competition for the PGA Tour suddenly, and from competition, changes do occur, right?
What's on the grill this weekend?
See? That's what I'm saying. Summertime, baby.
You know what I haven't made all summer? No kebabs this summer. Maybe I might do some kebabs this weekend.
I'm not a kebab. Are you a kebab guy?
Not really, I just haven't done it.
I literally just had kebabs the other night from Panini Cafe out here.
Mm-hmm. Really?
You know Panini Cafe, Max?
Yeah, right there on Santa Monica Boulevard.
Well, I didn't go to the one on Santa Monica, but yeah.
That was good.
I went to the other one. So good.
Oh. And also, it doesn't cost you an arm and a leg when you get out there.
It costs you nothing.
No.
You know what?
The salad's so good, by the way.
Is ridiculous.
If you ever need to cater a thing on not such a big budget, that's the perfect place to use.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Panini Cafe, Jay?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Okay, note to self next time.
They do it perfect. Yeah.
I don't necessarily eat the tomatoes and the onions all the time.
Oh, I do, yeah.
But in the bell peppers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I do.
But with them?
Yeah, man.
Gone.
They got that crispy little salad, Key. It's perfect.
Oh, the salad.
I know.
You know, the salad. I had the Greek salad. I had, because I like the olives.
Oh, yeah,
of course.
That's what you do.
I had the Greek salad, but I switched up on the dressing. I didn't do the balsamic. I did the lime vinaigrette.
Always. Yeah. Dude, you singing my tune. That's exact. I mean, all the time. I ate there probably once a week at least, or took out, or, yeah, you know.
We're excited about it, right?
Right, Jay? We all excited.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
Because you know why, Key? I'm hungry, man.
I'm starving right now.
That's what it is.
So good.
Jay,
is so good. The cubes of chicken, I don't know how they marinate, how they cook it, whatever. I've never been in their kitchen to see. But when you touch the chicken, it's like touching a soft sponge.
Juicy.
And it's juicy.
Ooh. Yeah.
Oh.
Yes. Don't do that when we're hungry. So how about this, though? Start, bench, or cut? Justin Herbert, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow. Key, who you starting, who you benching, who you cutting?
Let me think.
And I predict I will have the reverse order from everyone else.
I'm going to go start Josh Allen, bench Justin Herbert, and I'm cutting Joe Burrow.
I knew it, Jay. I knew it. Listen to me. That is the reasonable, that's the most rational thing to do. Start Josh Allen, bench Justin Herbert, cut Joe Burrow. I get it. But you know what I'm doing, Jay? I'm starting Joe Burrow. I'm benching Justin Herbert, and I'm cutting Josh Allen.
Why?
Because Josh Allen's great. Don't get me wrong. He is, as I said, a cyborg sent from the future to destroy Patrick Mahomes, right? I'm not sure he succeeds, but that's what he plays like. He's ridiculous. I saw Josh Allen evolve step by step. I saw the raw tools get molded, right, in the NFL. Man, so he's great. Justin Herbert, to me right now, better than Josh Allen. And he basically hit the league like that.
Is it because he better traditional quarterback? Is he a better overall player?
I think he's a better player. I think he's a better player. I think Justin Herbert has one of the best, deep, most accurate.
Yeah, there's nothing traditional about Justin Herbert. Herbert can run. He can pull the ball down. 6'6". Yeah, he's a big old tall drink of water.
Who's a better athlete, Josh Allen or Justin Herbert?
That's a good question, Jay, because I really don't know. One would think, based on the system,
Allen, right?
That is Josh Allen. But Justin Herbert has shown the ability to move around and do some stuff as well. I think Josh Allen even played baseball before.
Yeah, he's a great athlete.
I think he played baseball. I'm almost certain he played
70 miles an hour. A football 70 miles an hour.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
So I really don't. I would probably lean toward Josh Allen.
But Justin Herbert, for the quarterback position, you don't have to be the best athlete.
No, just look at Tom Brady.
Justin Herbert is like 6'6 and fast with a great arm and accuracy. And I would take the reason I start Joe Burrow, it's Key got it right. He walks with the mink and the jewelry and into the Super Bowl. A lot of that, but also he's the type of dude. Like, I think so much of his like clutch ability. The fact is, he had the greatest college season ever. Capped it with the greatest championship game ever. First time he had played a full season in the NFL, came one throw away from winning the Super Bowl, right? I remember when he lost to Aaron Rodgers. Remember that overtime game, guys, where he loses to Rodgers? And I was surprised. And I had to stop myself, like, why am I surprised that essentially a rookie quarterback is losing an overtime to Aaron Rodgers? He gives me, like, the way I was surprised that Matt Stafford came back on Tom Brady. Some dudes give me the feeling like not only does their team believe they're the best, the other team believes it too, and will get tight when they play them. And Joe Burrow for me is that guy. I mean, how much success do you need in such a short time?
I don't know. When this question got posed yesterday by Shannon, our incredible producer, I really got salty about it because I don't want to have to choose. These dudes all have something special about them. And I get that Justin Herbert will get a chance to see it this year, you know, when they make a playoff run. But damn, Josh Allen is good. And this whole conversation makes you feel
cut,
like.
Cut, bench, start. What are you doing? Start, bench, cut. Because I got some breaking news for you as soon as you say those words.
I'm starting Josh Allen. I'm benching Joe Burrow. And I'm cutting Justin Herbert.
Wow. So we all have different answers.
Yeah.
But these are three great young quarterbacks. Breaking news. You know who's not getting benched or cut? Russell Wilson, who reached...
I know why!
He reached a 5-year agreement. Now, it's...
How much?
Okay, do you want the total or the guarantee?
I want the total, and then
the total is $245. $245 million over 5 years.
$170 fully guaranteed.
$170 fully guaranteed.
$165.
Okay. Close.
All right, so he gets $5 more million than Kyler Murray.
So he now is tied to Denver for 7 total years at $296 million.
Okay, Keith, so you know every time breaking news comes out, and we'll get into Russell Wilson, but let's go back to Lamar Jackson. It's just, okay, pay me.
Well, Russell Wilson's won a Super Bowl, and he only got $165 guaranteed. Man, I'm younger than Joe Burrow, and I won an MVP. Give me my $250 guaranteed. This ain't hard for Lamar Jackson.
That's hard. They're recorrecting the market now because Deshaun's deal in Cleveland was an outlier because of the situation in the Cleveland Browns.
He's basically a free agent. Yeah.
So, yeah, they're recorrecting the market. Lamar will come in slightly around $200 million fully guaranteed and not a penny above that.
I'm saying $250.
It's not going to happen, Max.
I'm saying they got to get fully guaranteed $250. I'll tell you, and by the way.
It won't happen, Max.
You know
watch.
Why it won't happen if it doesn't? Because he won't do the thing that you're telling him to do. Which is
what?
Hold out if they do.
Even if he doesn't hold out, even if he played the entire season and they went on and they won the Super Bowl.
No, I'm saying if he holds out like you're saying, if he actually flexes that muscle, that leverage.
They still only going to push him to $200.
Listen, I get it that Deshaun Watson was essentially a free agent in the sense that he was going to go to the highest bidder. So there were other bidders, and that's not Lamar Jackson.
No. They had to pay a premium, though, to get Deshaun to want to go to Cleveland.
That's what I'm saying. So he was going to the highest bidder. It's different because there's only one bidder now in Lamar's case. I get that. Man, if I'm Lamar, I'm paying $250. I need it fully guaranteed.
Not gonna happen. You could tell based on Kyler, and you could tell based on Russell.
Yeah, you might.
They
be right.
are now crazy, recorrecting the quarterback market.
Key, just
as
crazy.
Far as the Baltimore Ravens and Deshaun in Cleveland is concerned.
It's Russell crazy Wilson. To think, Key, that Deshaun Watson has $60 million more dollars guaranteed than Russell Wilson.
He has Wilson has $165 million guaranteed, new five-year deal for $245, $165 guaranteed. It's now a total of 7 years, $296 altogether. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, is there more pressure to get the deal done with Lamar now? ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.